Blog Talk Radio.
I'm getting older, y'all, people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Yeah. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive, so love is found. Now ask yourself.
Welcome to Table Talk with T. We're having some great discussions already in the chat room. Me and Ronan are here tonight, and yesterday was such a crazy day. Let me mute Nancy Grace because she's in the background talking here. But yeah, yesterday was a crazy day. Can you believe Obama is president? Well, here you go again with Blog Talk Radio. T, See, why do they do that to us? They're always on some extra stuff.
Because we're not on that ratchet.
Right. Once again, here goes Blindside on their ratchetness. But so we're here to talk about the whole election. Obama won it, so we got another 4 years with OBZ. Yay! Or nay. Some people are happy. Some folks are pissed the hell off. What did you think? Because I told you I fell asleep. I was really, I talked to you, what you called me about 5 o'clock, right, Ronan?
Yeah, 5 and 5.
And at that point, we was talking, we was waiting, and then you was like, I'm going to call you back in like 20 minutes. I was knocked out. I didn't wake up until this morning. I woke up, I'm like, damn, I wonder what happened. So you were watching the election, because I was asleep. Yeah, I had to be up early in the morning. So what happened? Because I had to be watching during the day.
As we talked about, I was telling you, we need to pay attention in between the hours of 8 and 10. We'll find out exactly what happened. So between that time, you started seeing things, like, really unfold. And Romney pretty much needed to run the table on a number of swing states. He definitely needed Ohio and Florida. And seeing the typical pattern, like, as far as 08 with McCain and Obama, the long delays in Florida and Ohio, things were looking good. And then I started hearing the newscast, like Romney locked himself away in the war room and, you know, all radio silence was going on and everything. Like, okay, this is looking a little crazy. And people were getting upset on both ends. I mean, because, like, in the beginning, you're going to see, like, the states that, you know, usually go either Republican or Democrat, you know, just go all out. I mean, all the thing is just about waiting. But, again, when you started seeing he lost his home state of Massachusetts, New Hampshire, he lost that. He lost Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and then it's like, okay, here it comes. And then, like, as soon as, I want to say 11 o'clock rolled in, it was pretty much a done deal. So, again, the crazy part was after the fact when going to work. And immediately after he got elected, the people are going crazy out here outside my house. There's just some ratchet stuff. And, Trump's bumping, Jeezy, like my president's black.
My Lambo's blue.
Yeah, they were going ape shit. And then when I came to work, certain people were, a certain demographic, like both black, white, and in between, were just dead silent. And I started hearing some chatter on Facebook. I mean, like, Donald Trump was going ape shit talking about this is bullshit. Fucking,
that's what JT just in the chat room. What was he saying? Because I missed that.
He was saying all kind of ratchet stuff. Like, let me get that real quick. He was basically saying, it's right. Okay. He was going off talking about, he's basically going off talking about this is not this is a republic, not a democracy, anything. He was bitching and complaining about the process is flawed and fucked up. And then it was mainly him and Mark Cuban going back and forth doing a Twitter feud. And then after a while, I think earlier today, like around noon, he deleted most of his tweets or all of them. So, he was going ape shit. Then you seen on Fox News, which was kind of sad to watch that shit because it seemed like someone kicked their dog like right in front of their family. And they were just, Karl Rove was going crazy. And Rush Limbaugh was talking about basically, us Caucasians were like the minority now. I mean, just like people just like.
Yeah, I was hearing that a lot too on CNN. A lot of people in the chat room are even saying that Stacey Dash, she wrote a whole essay, she was ranting. But like I said, Stacey Dash is a beautiful unemployed moron. Okay,
yeah.
She going to have something to say. She's mad because she, wanted him to win and he lost. Oh, well. They also were saying that Bill O'Reilly, which I'm not shocked, he was going in and stuff like that on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
I remember I had posted before I fell asleep on Facebook, because I'm just like, damn, does Mitt have in the bag? Because they was on Fox News, Glenn Beck and them was calling him President Mitt Romney. He's like, I've never seen it where people have been so confused. you know, he's so much more like the president. He has that, you know, that energy that I just, you know, think that people are more used to calling him President Romney as opposed to Governor Romney. I'm like, you're the only one calling him President Romney. Nobody else is calling him President Romney. You know, so it's like Fox News really jumped the gun. They really swore up and down he was about to win. And you remember this, we were just talking about the situation that happened with Karl Rove, how he wanted, like, you know, a recount, and he swore up and down that they jumped the gun too fast, and he ended up getting egg all over his face.
Well, it's not just them. Even beforehand, you've been seeing all kind of crazy stuff talking about block, pretty much, like, putting restrictions on voters, doing all kind of ignorant, backhanded stuff. Even people going as far as doing some real outright racist, outlandish stuff, like having this bus, you know, with a bunch of mannequins with nooses around their necks and T-shirts that said put the white back in the White House. I mean, it's like, again, you know, just like all this unnecessary foolishness. And then on the other side, you're having people run around and they put a picture of Obama with his dick out, jacking off on Romney and Ryan. I was like, it was kind of a little bit like disgusting. I'm like, this is going a little too far, y'all. I mean, then, you know, you had people dressed up as Big Bird in the ballot boxes. And,
right. I've seen them too.
And then there was a woman who in Oregon who got fired for tampering with the votes trying to put term into Republican in Oregon. So, again, it's like what the thing is. It's not even about which candidates are, you know, elected or whatever. I see the electoral process and season as it's like a showcase of how far both people on the left and the right can go completely stupid when given opportunities.
Right.
I mean, it's like you think it's like a Green Bay Chicago football game with all the ignorance that goes on. It's just you know, one side is saying one thing and then another. I just look at it as, okay, what is this person who's looking to get into office, who's just a figurehead, what are they going to offer? You know, like no one talked about the constipation that was in Congress, where anything that was put up on the ballot, it was a party of no that said, no, we're going to obstruct this bullshit until fucking we make him a one-term president. But now that he is on the second term, now they're going to go back and clean up their shit and look good in front of their constituents since they didn't make good on their word and pretty much try to save face and save their ass. So, again, I have my discrepancies with Obama myself, not too many, but enough. But still, when you look at it, it was just like you're trying to pick the lesser of two evils, basically.
Right, basically.
Yeah, so,
it's true. Again, I mean, and I think that's what a lot of people, they even said that out of all the voting, I don't know, since like the early 80s, whatever, this is probably the lowest turnout. So when you think about it, he barely won. He won, but he barely won because Mitt Romney was very close. But a lot of people chose not to vote because people just like, you know, Barack or Mitt, shit, neither. I mean, let's be real. I know a lot of folks who were just like, I know I'm not voting. I'm not getting myself involved in this because this is some nonsense. You know, I didn't want Mitt in there. You know, I didn't think Mitt was a good fit. You know, but again, I don't want black folks to get comfortable or people of color to get comfortable and think because Obama's in the White House, now the sun, everything's about to change and, you know, free everything. Because you hear people being ignorant, like, oh, bet we about to get free cell phones, free health care, food stamps, you know, just come on. It's like at the end of the day, he doesn't walk on water. He's one man. There's still people behind the scenes running things. There's still the U.S. Senate. You know, there's still a lot of things that are, you know, that have their hands in the pot. So it's just not Obama. He's just the face, you know, of the main head. But he's not the one running everything behind the scenes, and that's what people need to realize, you know. And a lot of, you know, on CNN and everywhere else, they're talking about how divided the nation is. And the nation is very divided because, like we've been saying for the past week, people are tired. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. People are tired of talk. We want to see action. I don't care who really would have got in. It's just the point. People want to see action. People want to see the economy get better. People want jobs. So I just feel like, you know, you have people taking it from one extreme to another. You have, you know, people who are like, okay, fine, he won, cool. Then you have other people who are, like, seriously butthurt. I mean, who are so upset. Because like I said the day before when everybody was voting at my job, you know, we don't talk politics. I don't get into politics with people. But, you know, I heard people talking about, you know, they went out to the polls to go vote. And, you know, I was hearing, like, little conversations. But today at work, I mean, barely any eye contact. I'm like, dang, really? You know what I'm saying? Like, people looking away and, you know, looking out the corner of their eye. You could tell, like, people are really, really pissed off. The people who wanted Romney in there are really upset. Like, they took the shit personal. And I've never seen an election like that. I mean, it's crazy because even when Barack won 4 years ago, granted, everybody was happy, but for the people who didn't want him in office, it wasn't that detrimental. They weren't that upset. But now you see people are really pissed off. People are threatening people. I remember this bitch, and y'all gonna call her a bitch. She had sent this message on Twitter. Somebody had retweeted it and sent it to me. And she was saying that she can't wait for Mitt to get into office because, you know, once he gets into office, he'll be sure to make black people slaves again because she don't feel like doing shit. And I'm like, what kind of, you know, people just write anything on Twitter. You know, it's just like, and I understand part of it is probably for attention, and she might be 12 for all we know. She might be a grown woman. But it's just like, you know, they really threw so much racism in this election where it really wasn't needed. You know, for you to say that you want him to win so that way black people can become slaves again, you got me messed up. I'm not about to be picking nobody's cotton. You know, I mean, the situation was nuts just reading, like, some of the tweets on Twitter. You know, it's almost like, it wasn't so much, you had some people who did not want Obama in there because of his policies, but you had other people who straight up did not want him in there because he was black. Point blank, period. You know, me and my son had that discussion because they had an election at their school, and his school, overwhelmingly, they picked Mitt Romney. So he said today, and he, you know, he voted for Obama, whatever, and he said it kind of started like this little racial thing in the classroom, and the kids were like, oh, you just voted for Obama because you're black. My son was like, well, really don't really matter who gets in there like that because, you know, they're puppets, you know, because, I mean, me and him talk about a lot of stuff. He's like, you know, they're just a face for one thing. It doesn't really matter, but I'm going to go with him just because my mom is middle class as opposed to Mitt, who basically wants all these breaks for the rich. I'm not rich, you know, so, but a lot of the kids at his school, they have money and they come from rich families. So these are kids who are between the ages of 11 and 14, you know. So a lot of them are just regurgitating the stuff that they hear their parents say and the things that they see at home. So he said today when he went to school, a lot of kids were upset, you know, that Obama won and, you know, they're kind of making sly remarks and things like that, you know. Yeah. But it's crazy because even these younger kids are seeing it. You know, they're seeing the divide in the school, you know. And when I was in school, we used to vote for, you know, presidential elections. I never heard anybody say it, but then again, there wasn't a black president. But, you know, you just voted, you stated your choice, and that was it. Like, you didn't have to really even defend your choice. That's just who you wanted. But they ended up turning it racial, and that's sad when it's little kids that are doing this.
Yeah.
But they get it from the adults.
It's a learned behavior. It's like it's something that's passed on. It's really a fucked up version of inheritance, to where it's fostered fear, ignorance, a lot of speculation put into, I mean, it's really backed into a system that supports it. So, again, like, how can you build a community, which is, like, one of the most fearful things to have when people actually get together and work together? And, you know, how can you expect it to build? I expect the family unit to, you know, be refortified, much less, like, reestablished when you allow all these different types of division out here. You have people arguing about light skin, dark skin. You have worrying about man versus woman. You're worrying about all these miscellaneous agendas. Like, again, who stands to profit when you have everyone out, I mean, pretty much spread out, you know, just all about on their own and everything. So that's why it's just like, it's half-assed retarded. I mean, just looking at these fucking tweets from Donald Trump, which really, I never liked the dude personally, but I don't make it as personal as people tend to do, like, you know, online. You know, so they said, like, you know, we can't let this happen again. We should march on Washington and stop this tragedy. Our nation is totally divided, which is kind of true. The phony Electoral College made a laughingstock out of our nation, the loser one. He lost the popular vote by a lot and won the election. We should have a revolution in this country. Like, well, back to the drawing board. I mean, Donald Trump is a well-established attention whore. This dude has filed bankruptcy. I don't know how long or how many times. Plus, any time you have someone talking about, let's bring real stuff to the politics, and you can't even get your hair straight or your whole life straight, fucking, please shut the fuck up. That's how I personally feel about it. So, again, what was he going to bring to the table besides some bullshit reality show saying you're fired or whatever? Again, like 2 years ago, he wasn't either Republican, Democratic, or whatever.
Right. You never heard from him, but it's like now all of a sudden he's like this big political guy. And, you know, at one point in time he was talking about even running for president. You know, so I take several seats. He is an attention whore. You know, people are in the chat room saying that there's been a lot of ignorant behavior during this election. VH1 Access says that people have lost lots of friends because of the election. Jamal says that it's a superiority complex. You know, so it's crazy. A lot of relationships were strained overnight due to this, you know, election. And you have a lot of people, you know, not just, like I said, I don't see it so much as even rich and poor, which is amazing to me that so many people who are not rich, who are barely middle class, were so for Romney. It's like he has nothing in the pot for you. I mean, like seriously, he has nothing there for you. You're not even part of his agenda, and he makes it no secret. Come on, he wants to cancel PBS. You know, we grew up on PBS. Big Bird is my homeboy. What do you mean you want to cancel PBS? That's a free station that's based on government grants. I remember when my son was modeling, we met the dude who's the voice of Grover. It's a little black man named Charlie Winfield. Real cool dude. He's the voice of Grover. You know, and these people have been entertaining people for the past, you know, I don't know, 30, 40 years, since before I was a kid. And it's like for him to just, you know, nonchalantly, the first thing I would do is cut that off. It's like anything that people who don't have money enjoy, it's like he's ready to just, you know, write it off. Just like with FEMA. You know, when he was making the comments about FEMA, about how, you know, the states should control and figure out their own issues and it shouldn't be a federal issue. Well, yeah, that's cool if you live in a rich state like Minnesota, but if you live in Mississippi does not have as much money as states up north, so that's not fair. You know, so you do need a federal response. You know, New York tends to be a more wealthier state, but look at what they're going through right now. With Hurricane Sandy, now Staten Island's done had a snowstorm. So, I mean, this is crazy. These people still don't have power. They still don't have light. So he made a lot of comments throughout his little campaigning that just didn't sit well with me. And then I remember, like they were saying a few years ago, he had said to the Detroit automakers that, you know, they should just basically close on all their plants. They shouldn't get a bailout. You know, that's funny because you have no problem shipping all these jobs overseas. You know, so it's just the whole thing was just comical to me how people – you know, who weren't rich were, like, so gung-ho to keep him in office, or, I mean, to get him into office, you know. And I'm not saying that Obama was just, you know, overall the best choice. But like you said, the lesser of two evils, you know. So it was definitely a crazy election year. I mean, it definitely was. I mean, just the politics and the mudslinging. And then on top of that, the online drama. You know, all the stuff that you saw on Twitter, you know, after he won, you know, I was going back reading a lot of the tweets from, you know, the night before, and it was just amazing, like just a lot of the racial humor and things like that was just, you know, insane. But people get off on that. People get off on getting a reaction from people and things like that. So I'm definitely not shocked by it at all.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And more than anything, it exposed who and what we are as a so-called people, because we've seen all types of circus freaks from Republican, Democrat, and in between. I mean, like, when those cameras, like, on us, sometimes we know how to show out, just like these reality shows have taught us to do. And I just scratched my head the whole thing. It's like, now I'm expecting a backlash from this. Because it's already, we discussed that before the show came up, like, you know, the whole thing, the supposed riot at Ole Miss University, but they said it was a peaceful riot, whatever the fuck that is. And just you're starting to see all this ignorant stuff, like when people are, like, starting to act out and, you know, get pissed off over something that, you know, okay, it's over with, but you when you really think about it, what are you as individuals going to do as a group? I mean, no one talks about having a neighborhood watch. No one even talks about the things on the election of the state or the, you know, local level. That's where the real stuff happens. But they're, you know, thinking either the president, which is a figurehead, is supposed to clap his hands and fucking, you know, everyone gets a free Obama phone and all this extra stuff. you know, really people are like more or less politically illiterate in most cases, or they feed into the bullshit that they're giving on either whatever the media out of their choice is. People just start reading, you know, look at things. The thing is that was exposed that a lot of people don't look at things for the big picture. They really don't. You have to ask yourself, what exactly has been transpiring while everyone's eyes are glued on the elections and seeing all the eye candy going on? You know, it was, in some form or fashion, I looked at it, it was kind of dramatic, just like a reality television show. You know, had highs and lows, you know, people going, ooh, ah, you know, Romney's up, no, Obama's up, and going back and forth. I mean, in that span of time, you know, you figure like from 6 to midnight or 1, a whole lot of shit can be done. A whole lot. But, again, like, just to show your ass because of a candidate or your choice didn't make it or had won, you know, like 30 minutes after the election was given, I mean, like, given to Obama, there was a video of some chick twerking in celebration, like, can the ratchetness take a vacation for a big fucking Obama or something? It's just the silly shit. You look around like, damn, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, you wonder why people overseas, like, wonder, what the fuck is wrong with these people?
Right. Twerking for Obama. But you know what's so crazy about that Ole Miss situation? They're saying that basically it wasn't a riot, but it was, and basically the people that students have at Ole Miss are trying to blame Twitter, because basically the rumors about the situation fueled on Twitter after the university student journalist posted a video referring to the small gathering as a riot, and then they started showing students burning Biden and Obama flyers and posters and things like that. So then it ended up being the Mitt Romney riot at Ole Miss. But they're saying that it wasn't a riot, it was just them getting together because they were upset and things like that. You know, but, you know, it's these riots on people's mentalities.
And Jamal put on chat room, it's like Washington and Colorado legalized recreational marijuana.
I heard about that today.
I mean, granted, marijuana has not killed anyone ever, I don't think. And I know people who try to OD on that shit, and no one has died. And there's a whole lot of medicinal purposes to it, but, you know, you figure if they're doing all that, and I think a few states in the East Coast mainly have legalized gay marriage. You know, so, you know, again, with a few musical chairs done in the Senate and the House, and you still have Barack still doing another 4 years, the question is, what do we as people do aside from what they do?
Right. Yeah, I thought it was very interesting with the whole marijuana being legal now in Colorado. I mean, they might as well have had. I mean, people were smoking it anyway, especially like in places, you know, like California and things like that. So now we have two states where it's legal, but what people need to realize is you need to make sure wherever you're, if you're smoking it, you keep it in Washington and Colorado, because if you get caught traveling, you know, over the border, going to the next state where it's not legal, they can get you for, you know, federally, you know, transporting drugs. So people need to realize it's because it's legal in your state, don't mean you can fly, you know, on the airplane with weed and everything else. It's only legal in that particular district. Because I can see somebody getting on a plane with a damn sack. Hold up, I'm from Colorado. Okay, but you're flying to Hawaii. Two different things. You know, so, but I thought that was a great one. I mean, I thought it was great. Like I said, I don't smoke weed, but I'm all for legalization because I think, you know, the criminalization part of it is bullshit. And we talked about that, you know, on a few past shows. But I'm glad that they decided to legalize that. A lot of people are. And then they're saying that even that money from the weed sales, they've been able to put that into the school system. So basically it's helping build new schools, get books. Their school system is one of the best in the nation right now because of all the extra money they're making from legal weed sales. So that might be something for other states to really think about, you know, legalizing it, making it a monopoly. You know, so it's crazy. It's been a really, really interesting week, but I know I was, like, just nervous if I had fell asleep yesterday because I was so tired. But I was nervous. Like, I don't know who's going to win it because it was that close. It really was. We could have woke up this morning. It could have been Mitch. It was that close.
It would have took a lot for Mitt to come out, because once you start seeing certain states fall away from him, and or you see too many delays in activity in there, it just wasn't looking good for that point. And, you know, Jamal was getting to the point I was going to make later on. It's like Puerto Rico is, like, petitioning to become the 51st state.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll make things pretty interesting. Not sure how they're going to allocate that if they keep the Electoral College. You know, everyone has their legitimate beefs with it, but still, I mean, it's like one of the territories of the United States. I don't see why not. You know, but what do you think?
I think they should. I mean, I guess they might as well make it official. I mean, they've been part of the U.S. for so long.
Yeah, I mean, the way they treat them is like, is basically America's side chick. I mean, it's time to promote that chick.
Ooh, Sean went in. Sean said we can't even take care of our own 50 states, and they want to add one more.
But that is
That's true.
I mean, we can't even, like, keep our education on at least the top 10.
Right.
We don't even focus on that, you know, and still with the so-called war on drugs and whatnot, which is funding a lot of stuff, but that's a whole nother conversation. You know, we still got our heads up our asses, like, pretty much worrying about what other countries are doing instead of taking care of home. So, yeah, you're definitely right about that.
Right, right. So, okay, it's going to be real interesting. I'm waiting for somebody to, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, wait to see who the first reporter is to ask Obama about the whole Benghazi situation. Because I'm sure they're just itching to bring that up. We're going to see who it is. And I wonder if he's going to answer that, you know, the question. Because that's been a big thing in the news lately. And when they try to bring it up to him before, he didn't really address it. So it's going to be interesting to see who brings that up. You know, so do you believe it when everybody's like, it took Bush 8 years to mess up the country, give Obama at least another 8 years to fix it? Do you feel like, you know, like that's a fair statement? Do you feel like he can fix whatever it was that Bush created within the next 4 years that he has left?
I believe I'm a little half and half on. I mean, it is a fair assessment because, yeah, when Bush took office, we did have a surplus, and it didn't take him long to fuck it up. But given how there was a whole lot of obstruction in Congress, and a whole lot of, you know, quite a few missteps on his part. If he has his mind right, if he's allowed to do so, then, yeah, we could get things fixed up. We could see things, you know, made a lot better. I mean, I forgot to do it, but I was going to encourage everybody to see how much gas is today or tomorrow. Because the election, because you know how things go up and down like that. Or finding out what things we could do to, like, you know, kill our dependence on oil, which is, because you did bring up an interesting thing, like, because it's going to get to the point where possibly water or whatever resources that, you know,
You know, everybody's so stuck on, you know, we understand there's a war going on and everything else, and a lot of people saying that we're still in the Middle East because of that oil, which I agree with that sentiment, but what people need to realize, too, that, you know, at the end of the day, we can live without oil. You know, you don't have to have a car. You can walk, you can bike. You know, there's certain things you can do to still sustain yourself. But what you can't live with, I don't care who you are, is water. And what people don't realize is that, you know, that natural resource is steadily being depleted. You know, you have companies like Nestle moving into the Great Lakes, because I'm here in the Midwest, and they're pumping millions of gallons of water out the Great Lakes, out of, you know, Lake Erie and things like that. And they're bottling it up. There's no difference between bottled water. So I was trying to explain to you, there's no difference between bottled water and water that you get out your tap. It's the same exact thing. They're not putting nothing special in there. They're still, I mean, besides the supposed chemicals that they put in there, like fluoride and things like that. But it's really no difference as far as, you know, you buying bottled water. They're basically pumping, they're taking water that should be free for everyone, and then they're putting it in bottles and they're making a profit off of it. And then don't get it twisted. They're shipping some of that water over to China and other countries as well. You know, so it's crazy. You know, it's scary to think of what the future is going to be like, you know, 10, 20 years from now. You know, I mean, there's certain parts of the Great Lakes, like the marshy areas and stuff, where so much water has been pumped out that it's just sand there now. You know, so it's really crazy. Like, we're not taking care of our planet. We're not taking care of each other. And it is disheartening. You know, I'm just to the point now where it's like it really doesn't matter. It matters, but then again, it doesn't matter who's in office if things don't start to turn themselves around, you know, with the way we treat each other and the way we look at people like those people over there. They're not those people over there. They're just like me and you. They have families. They're not insurgents. They're not, you know, those people way over in the Middle East, you know, and I have my own opinion as far as, like, you know, us being over there in their country and things like that, but they're no different from us. You know, I couldn't see another country from the Middle East coming into Boston or Minneapolis or Texas and saying, you know what, I don't like your policies, I don't like where you're running things, we're going to turn this into an Islamic state and y'all got to follow what we do, and if you don't like it, you know, oh, well, too bad. And, you know, that's basically what we've done, you know, so... I mean, I hope these next 4 years bring about some change, but we can only wait and see, you know, because we don't know. But, yeah, that's a very true fact that I believe in, is that, you know, everybody's so much focused on the Middle East and oil, but people don't realize that water, it's going to be a huge commodity in the future. People are going to start fighting. There's going to be wars being fought over water, maybe not necessarily here in the U.S., but definitely overseas. You have a lot of countries in Africa, you know, right now who cannot get fresh, clean drinking water. You know, so it's crazy because you cannot sustain life without water. So I think that's going to be the next big war, is going to be over water. Water is going to be more precious than gold and oil.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about the currency thing because more than likely, I say it's more like a certainty that the dollar will fall and they will find another resource or another measure of value to put up. And it could be water. It could be fucking gravel in the aquariums. They'll find something. And again, it's like this big business in war. No matter what it is, they'll find a way to allocate that stuff and then test their new weapons out, especially on brown people. But they'll find a way. I mean, they're going to try to keep that thing moving. But still, hopefully, we can be able to pull our collective heads out of our asses and, you know, get something going. But really, it'd be cool, like, hear, you know, what the people think. You know, because, like, again, like, they see things in their own perspectives and, you know, we can get a broader view of what's, like, actually not just happening, but what could be done.
Right, right. And it looks like we have some on the line. Let's see if they want to talk because they look like they raised their hand. Blog Talk Radio. I don't know what happened. I don't know if I hung up on them or what. But, yeah, it's crazy. Let's see what they're about saying in the chat room. Does the Bible talk about that? G. Stewart says, I don't believe in the Bible or God. It's a mythological figure. So, I mean, a lot of people have their different thoughts. I don't know if it says in the Bible or not. I don't, you know, I mean, I've read the Bible, but I couldn't tell you if it's in there. But I know from, you know, reading, you know, stuff that's going on, there is going to be a shortage of water. That's proven that there is a big water shortage and that Nestle and a lot of these big corporations are basically buying up a lot of these lakes. They're putting money into politicians' pockets to look the other way, while they're basically pumping us, you know, pumping our water. And a lot of people are like, it's a really big thing that's going on in Texas, and I forgot the big Texas tycoon who bought, like, this huge ranch out there. And he has, like, basically a water reservoir. And he even made a comment. I was watching his video one time, and he was like, people were like, well, you can't, you know, sell water. You can't, you know, tax water. That should just be free. You know, that's what people need. That's, like, basically charging for air. You can't charge it for the air that we breathe. You know, he's like, oh, I can't, watch me. That was 20 years ago. And now he's like a billionaire, and that's what he does. He basically bought up all these reserves. He has a huge ranch, and he bottles water, and he's selling the water to the people of Texas. And there's nothing you can do about it because it's on his land, and he bought all those acres of land. So yeah. It's kind of sad, but it's like anything right now is up for grabs. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, Mom said Texas gets away with everything. I totally agree.
Yeah, I most definitely agree. That's where I'm at right now, and I'm not surprised. I'm definitely not surprised.
Right.
Hey, this old Blog Talk Radio knows that we don't care. We're going to tell the truth. We're going to keep it 110%. Y'all go over these technical difficulties, what you like, but we're going to do the damn thing. So,
right. You know, and I'm glad because we always have really cool discussions in the chat room. And that's the thing I like to hear about is opinion. Some people believe in God. Other people in the chat room do not believe in God. You know, and that's all people's opinions. You know, that's fine. It's not for us to judge how one person feels about a particular God or not. Some of us are Muslims. Some of us are Christians. Some of us are atheists. But the point is, can we all come to some type of consensus on making a positive change? You know, I think that's the bigger picture.
Well, I mean, going on what you were saying, it's like we do need that measure of diversity because, you know, if there's one thing that's more annoying than anything, it's like sheep speak, like where if one person says one thing, the entire congregation has to agree with it, otherwise you're a piece of shit or whatever. But really, like, I just like, again, like, you can learn a whole lot if you expand your mind and, you know, take the blinders off. But, you know, we that's a whole nother show in itself, personally.
Right. Yeah, everybody's going into their, you know, their religious, you know. Like I've always said, you know, even when people have asked me, I have my own personal relationship with God. And that's
yeah.
I don't expand on that. I don't feel like I need to break it down, you know, as far as religion and what I believe in and things like that. It's no one's business. You know, it's not for me. I don't have to walk around with a Bible, you know, in my purse to prove I'm a Christian. That don't mean nothing. You know, I know a lot who claim to be Christians and nothing about them or the demeanor is Christian life. So I don't get involved in all those, you know, all them little funny politics on who's more religious than being holier than thou. To each his own. To each his own when it comes to religion. That's not my place to judge you.
Well, you have to be careful with that because a lot of people, like, once they do the whole Christian dynamic, in certain sects of religion, it's like a gang mentality.
Right.
If you don't go to this denomination, this church, they either put you as an outcast or they, you know, treat you a certain way or, you know, I just have a lot of questions of people who supposedly are part of the faith, you know, and really, you know, their actions like contradict what they are and what they're supposed to do. So, you know, again, you know, that's a very sensitive subject because a lot of people figure, you know, they have their own opinion. And that's another, another tool of separation, which I mean, certain entities like that the game. But me, I'm on personal, you know, racial guy. I mean, I got a broadcast and say I got a Jesus pin. I'm gonna say all that, but you know, again, like I just have a strong version of bullshit too. So, but to each their own.
So we have a few non-believers in the chat room. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, it's definitely not. We're not here to discuss, you know, one way or another. You know, because I see people in my family go back and forth all the time with the whole Islam versus Christianity, and we don't get involved in that. You know, like most people know me. Most people know my mom is Muslim, so it's like we don't go back and forth. She has her religion that she practices, and I do me, you know. So I don't get involved in differences like that. My main thing is, you know, the respect for people, and are you a good person at heart? Because being religious, being a Christian, being a Muslim doesn't necessarily make you a good person, and being an atheist doesn't necessarily make you evil, you know. So I think we just need to basically learn from each other. You know, and just get the good positive things you can get from people. You know, stop with all the accusations and judging and, you know, I'm better than you because I'm in church every Sunday. Okay, well, Monday through Saturday, you know what I'm saying? You're the biggest rat on the block. But, okay, if that makes you feel good because you're in church every Sunday, that don't mean nothing.
Well, yeah, you're right about that because, you know, seeing in my personal experience, some of the same individuals who say, yeah, you know, I'm a Christian and all that. They either they're twerking for Jesus or, you know, just doing some of the most ratchet stuff. I'm like, damn, you know, you claim this. I mean, like, again, you say all these scriptures and then you are walking in with like 4 or 5 kids, you ain't been married, you know. I've seen what you did in the parking lot before service. I mean, just all kind of eyeball nonsense. Like, some people just use that opportunity to be the biggest hypocrites in, you know, in life. But, again, if you're about that, be 110% about it. Don't just say it and, you know, because it sounds good and do something completely different. Otherwise, you know, no one's going to take you seriously.
Right.
But, you know, hey, it's, you know, again, going back to the original topic, it's going to be a very interesting 2012 and beyond. Because who knows what the hell is going to happen within the next few months. So, you know, I don't know. We're going to have to stand by for it. And again, the little countdown for whatever rap is going to happen is on right now.
Right, that's the truth. Somebody said, I'm sorry, but I can't sit in church for 5 hours. Uh-uh. Y'all are a mess. And then Shamar was like, Lord, I done started something. Like I said, it's all good. You know, it's a good discussion. You know, it's cool that everybody's able to announce what religion they practice. And for the ones who don't practice religion, that's cool, too. You know, we're not here to judge nobody on who they worship. That's not my place. You know, but there's people out here who still believe Barack Obama's Muslim. So, you know, it's not my place. It is what it is. So now let's get off topic for a minute because we have about 40 minutes left of the show. So did you hear about the Uppercut King?
The
you
what?
Know, your homeboy lost his job. I had posted it on Facebook. The Uppercut
right.
King, the bus driver.
Yeah.
They ended up firing him yesterday. The same day Barack Obama won, he got fired. Did you hear about that?
I heard a little bit of something about that. I didn't know what else went on, but I figured it's
funny. He was on, they showed him too. You could see his face and they interviewed him. He's a handsome old man, real handsome old man. And they interviewed him, and he said, you know, he was upset. He was frustrated because he felt like his job should have protected him. He felt like, you know, he basically put his life on the line. He didn't know if the girl had a knife. She assaulted him first. What? Put me on. This is what I wrote on Facebook. This is why I love America and I love our justice system, because it ain't shit. And the girl hits him first, spits on him, you know, started all this chaos. She walks away with the disorderly conduct. They're pressing criminal charges on him.
See,
so not only was he fired, he's looking at criminal charges for assault. So it's crazy. Somebody
that
needs to be a bouncer at a club. I keep telling you, he needs to be an unlockable character in the next Street Fighter game.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Mortal Kombat to get his character on there. But that's the bullshit of the justice system, supposedly, because it's an oxymoron, where you had a chick who pretty much endangered herself, him, and the passengers in the bus, who didn't say shit about gender or anything beforehand. While she was running her mouth and they were going back and forth, they had a chance to say something. But because they didn't, then when she got real, now everyone wants to, you know, remember what the situation was, and they're trying to say he should never hit a woman or anything, you know, in spite of what she did. I mean, what she did. But you look at the same token of what happens to a lot of these people, public service people. You know, you get male people getting attacked. You're getting people jumping over counters at the restaurant. You know, you're getting, you know, just all these different incidents where people figure they can say and do anything and expect nothing to happen. But, you know, I personally felt he was right for just bending himself. Like, if you endanger my life, shit, you know, need your ass whooping. You gonna spit on me too? Oh yeah, I'm gonna dedicate. You know, I'm gonna put your bid in for the epic ass whooping of the year. So, again, that the biggest problem is the people who believe or take a biased view of the situation. Because a lot of times when I talk to a lot of people, especially on Facebook, keep going back and forth, they intentionally omit the spitting part or putting their hands on them. He said he shouldn't have done it because that's a woman. I said that's the same woman that endangered herself and everybody else, you know, and told a lie on the air on these radio shows talking about I was trying to get my change. We didn't hear that. And we damn sure didn't see that. So for him to get criminal charges for something she initiated, that tells you a whole lot. Because even there was a guy in Chicago who was confronted by four chicks, and he turned the other cheek and ended up getting jumped and murdered because he decided to walk away. Right. So you don't know what people are on. And then there was another guy in New York, an elderly man who got jumped by seven little girls, and he was cut. And they thought that shit was cool. So, again, you got to defend yourself. I mean, everyone wants to talk about you got to wait for the police and all that stuff. Okay, well.
Right, and so you're in a particular situation, sometimes you don't have time to think about the police. You know, there was a bus monitor on the bus. If anything, the one with that bright-ass orange jacket, that vest, he should have been fired because he didn't do nothing. From the time he provoked him and started that mess, he didn't do anything. And I haven't ridden the bus in a long time, so I don't know, if he is a bus monitor. I don't know, do they put bus monitors on city buses now? I know they used to on school buses, but if that was his job, was to be a bus monitor, he should be fired with his crossing guard, uniform on, and ain't done nothing. Just sitting on the bus, that's the daisy.
It's just outright disappointing because, again, the sisterhood failed her. And you keep hearing people talking about, well, he lost his job. Well, this chick is famous for getting the world's most epic uppercut on television. Now, of course, she's making her rounds on the talk show circuit, but it's not for her benefit. It's to her detriment. Because how are you going to get on the interview in front of millions and say, like, it felt like a Mortal Kombat finisher? It hurt it.
Right.
They're doing this as a joke. They're doing it as a joke. And like, they're talking about the old man, well, he's suffering because he ain't got his job. Okay, who's to say he don't have a side hustle?
If I was that old man, like I said on Facebook, he needs to go to her job because remember she claimed she was going to work. He needs to go to her job and harass her and spit in her face and see how that feels. But like I said, when you're a professional hood rat, most likely she ain't got no job.
She ain't got no job. She probably wouldn't say I got
no
job.
She wasn't going to work that bright ass pink coat.
No, her job was
her man house.
her job was babysitting and selling dope at the same place. So no, I wasn't buying that.
I wasn't buying that either. She's like, I was on my way to work, girl. You need more people. I'm sorry. She didn't look like she was on her way to work. She looked like she was on her way to go do something, but it wasn't no work. Crazy. It's like he lost his job, his pension, his everything. But some people are saying that he deserved it because basically, he made the company look bad, and the company has to worry about their reputation, things like that. But a lot of these bus drivers, they go through a lot of stuff. They have to deal with a lot of belligerent, ignorant people. So it's unfortunate that they would fire him for that. So personally, I still stand by my original video. It was self-defense all day.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on that. They weren't looking out for his best interest. They were worried about their own ass. Because, again, they would have to pay things as far as, like, civil, all type of civil type things. Like, as far as, like, they would have came out with some money. And they weren't trying to have that. So, like, you know what? He's going to take the hit. He shouldn't have hit her. Even when she initiated the whole thing first, still, they didn't look out for his best interest. They pretty much left him out to slaughter, and that's kind of fucked up. But, he's going to be cool. He's going to be all right. But as far as her, I would hate to be the dude that interviews her because I'm going to remember her ass. I'm going to remember. And again, it's like that's not a good look for her, nor pretty much black people in general, because they're going to chalk that up as another, black eye in the community, because no one stood up, I guess, for either one of them. Nobody. So.
Right. So now, have you heard about the Cat Williams situation? A lot of people in the chat room were talking about that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they're saying he's gone crazy. He's been trying to fight his fans on stage.
What?
Saying he's back on drugs. And remember, he pulled out that gun on Big Worm. He had put that gun out on him.
I remember that part, but I didn't know he was fighting the fans, though.
Yeah. You know what? I'm a big Cat Williams fan. I'm going to keep it real with y'all because we were just talking about that in the chat room. I'm a big fan of Cat.
Right.
I like comedians. I'm a big fan of comedians. I love him. I love Dave Chappelle. Those are probably two of my favorite, and Martin Lawrence. Cat Williams, if you really go back and watch some of his old videos before he started going crazy, Cat Williams speaks the truth. He speaks on a lot of topics. You know, he mixes up with humor, but he be spitting some real shit. Cat knows what's up with the industry. He knows what's going on, and I feel like they're doing stuff to mess with him. You know, I'm trying to go all conspiracy theory, but I feel like they are doing stuff to mess with Cat, and they're trying to ruin his reputation, kind of like how they did, you know, Mike and whoever else decides to speak up and say certain things. I mean, even when I watch some of the videos of him on YouTube, when he's, like, going in on other comedians and rapping, and you could just tell he's just kind of out of his mind. It's almost like somebody slipped him a roofie, and he just hasn't been able to get back, you know. So it's crazy. You know, and it was, like, a year ago he had got into it with some Mexicans on stage, and he told them to go back to Mexico, and he started going in. And so, but it was because he was dealing with a heckler, and the Mexican dude kept talking mess about, you know, America and, you know, he hated this country, so he was like, you know, well, why are you here? Go back to Mexico. So they went back and forth for a little bit, but I feel like there's a lot more to the story as far as what's going on with Cat, you know, and I'm always going to respect his comedic, you know, talents. To me, personally, he was funny. You know, he was funny, but I think they did the same thing with, you know, Dave Chappelle. G. Stewart said he agrees with me. They also did that with Lauryn Hill. You know, now they've made Lauryn Hill out to be, you know, this crazy lunatic with all these kids. You know, but if you really go back and you really listen, especially if you watch his last comedy show, the last one that was on tape, the most recent that he did this year, he speaks on a lot of real stuff. Cat Williams,
Yeah, there was one called Catpocalypse, I think.
I think so, yeah. I forget the name because I watched it a few weeks ago. But, yeah, he talks about a lot of real stuff, you know, so it's crazy. It's almost like they go out their way to, you know, to destroy people who have some type of credibility. But I kind of accepted that with Cat because he spoke a lot of truth in his videos and in his comedy. And same with Dave Chappelle. You know, once he woke up and he got tired of, you know, being used as this little, basically being used the way he was being used to make those jokes. And he said he got to a point where he felt like they weren't laughing with him, they were laughing at him. And that started to drive him crazy. But they made him look like he was crazy, like he was insane to walk away from all that money, but he just wanted his peace of mind. But I respect a lot of comedians because comedians have a way of being able to tell the truth, but then, you know, put that funny spin on there.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up with the comedians because, like, there was a big stink that was going on, like, before the election. Like, especially, like, some more of the comedian was on Facebook, and, you know, I responded to some of her posts, and she was talking about it. Black girls rock. How come the female comedians, none of them were invited to do that, which was a very, you know, respectable cause of concern because, again, you're supposed to be recognizing, I guess, women of color in all genres, and they decided not to do that. As you pointed out, comedians have a way of telling the truth and getting a laugh at the same time. So, that is a situation that's, you know, still pending in itself because, again, they have a legitimate gripe about it, but still, you know, I don't know, going back to Cat, you know, it was that little heckling that was talking crazy. I remember we talked about when he was doing the whole thing about Mexico and everything, and, you know, just going back and forth, but, you know, when you have a heckler, comedians, they have all rights to go ham on them. And he just got a little emotional because he was getting his ass kicked. So, I mean, again, like, when you look at everything that's going on from the election to all this we're talking about, for some reason our country has developed, underdeveloped this very shitty sense of conflict resolution. Like, once you say something that hurts your feelings and you don't like it, you start pissing and moaning and everyone wants to call a lawyer or they want to fight or shoot. Or something stupid. You know, we don't know how to talk anything out anymore. So, you know, until we fix that, there's going to be plenty of news stories on TMZ and World Star Hip Hop. So,
right.
Let the ratchet counter begin.
Yeah, this world is definitely crazy. Sometimes you do need to laugh at this world. G. Stewart is right about that. You know, sometimes you just do have to get a good laugh and not, you know, stress over everything that's going on, because it's enough to make you just go crazy. And that's why I love comedy. Now we're, okay, now everybody's in the chat room talking about, Jamel has posted the top 10 cities, the most violent cities. I guess the list came out today. And, of course, once again, number one most violent city in the U.S. is Flint, Michigan. After that, it's followed by Detroit. Number three is St. Louis. Four is Oakland. Five is Memphis. Six is Little Rock, Arkansas. Damn, they still gangbanging in Little Rock? Remember that, remember that documentary that came out?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's all like a seventh grade gangbang in Little Rock. They still on the list. Damn. And then number seven is Birmingham. Eight is Atlanta. Nine is Baltimore. And 10 is Stockton, California. So it's crazy. You know, violence is definitely on the rise out here. People don't care no more, in no respect.
No.
But that's, I remember that. And you know what's so crazy about gangbanging in Little Rock? I remember I was looking up, you know, so I'm like, okay, where are these people now? Because remember they did that 10-year special. I was living in South Carolina at the time when they did that 10-year special. I'm like, okay, bet, you know, because I remember them when I was like in seventh grade. And then you seen like them two bloods. They were brothers. And they just looked so old and just wore out. Like, I'm like, damn, you know, looking at how they were 10 years ago, guess when you're putting in work in the hood, you know, that ages you. But they looked so bad. And then, the one dude, the really young Crip boy, that was like, we can't never stand out here without them shooting at us. Remember the little boy, he was like 10 or 11? And then in the 10-year special, he was shot and he was in the hospital bed. He ended up dying because he had gotten shot and he was just, you know, bedridden. But that was a crazy documentary. I like how they went back and they followed up with the people. But what I noticed is they couldn't find none of the white gangbangers. Remember they had white GDs on there?
Yeah, I remember them.
Remember? They never, 10 years later, they didn't show none of the white people. Some people were damn, well, what happened to them? Because they was banging hard. Where's their story? Are they in prison? Where they at? So I go to, you know, research, you know, being nosy. I'm like, I want to find where the hell these people at. Do you know the white girl, the one who had gotten the GD thing branded on her arm? Remember, she was like, this is my family. I just want to fit in. And they had branded her.
Yeah, she was the one singing in the car, too.
Right.
Dre-day.
Yeah, singing that, Dre Day. Mr. Buster, where you at? Can't step for little. Yeah, she was going hot. So I'm looking her up on YouTube. I'm about to find this chick. I want to know what these white kids is up to, because all the black kids, they either dead or in jail. You know what I'm saying? So the little white girl, she on YouTube. Now, she a grown woman now. And basically, I mean, you would not even recognize her. She looked like Becky Susie Homemaker. Yes, that was me in the gangbanging Little Rock video. I've grown since then. I'm married now with two kids. And I'm like, hold on, what? I mean, I'm like, wow, it must be nice. It must be really nice that she could gangbang like that and carry pistols at 15. And then once she's in her 30s, you know, go on with life, merge right back into society like nothing ever happened. But yet all them other black kids that was on that series, shit. They went down the drain. I'm like, man, that's crazy. We're talking about gangbanging a little right, ooh wee. But yeah, that was, I mean, I remember that documentary, and I did. And I was like, I cannot believe that. You wouldn't even recognize her. She was like, really, like, Susie Sally Homemaker. You wouldn't even tell her she was a gangbanger or nothing. I'm like, must be nice. She can just go right back living in society like nothing ever happened.
Well, in many of those cases, like, they can treat it like a phase. It's just like, okay, I got my wild, you know, I sold my wild loads and everything, and now I'm going to go to college, and, you know, once I get out of Job Corps, and I'm going to make something out of myself, I'm good. But, again,
but
like,
when it comes to us, whatever path you choose is the path that you got to go down. You know, that's why it's so crazy, and that's why we need to steer young kids to just, you know, try their hardest to go down the right path, because a lot of us, we don't get those second chances. You know, if you was ratchet in high school, motherfuckers still look at you like you ratchet now, you know? Whereas if it was a white girl who was ratchet and did a lot of crazy things in high school, she can kind of switch it up and be okay, you know, as an adult. Like, that don't carry on with her. You know, whereas, you know, if it's a black female, she's going to be known as that chick that was, you know, doing this and that in high school. You know, so it's kind of crazy. You know, it's crazy how things work out.
Well, a lot of that is attributed, like, when a little black girl does some ratchet stuff, she's usually encouraged to keep doing it. You know, it's
right.
Like, you know, so again, it's like a learned behavior where not only racism is a learned behavior, ignorance is like a lifestyle course for some reason. So, again, it's like once you start showing out, you know, they figure, you know, this is a cool thing to do. Like, you know, I mean, they look at you crazy, like, if you don't have children after a certain age. Like, you say, like, with me being 36 for tonight, like you say, with no kids, no felonies, you know, I don't have, like, 8 baby mamas. I don't have a long list of records of STDs or, you know, I've shot 40 people or whatever. Then, right. You know, they start looking at you like you're different. Like, you know, you're not like the person I see on the rap video, which is an illusion in itself. So, I mean, again, it's like, you know, once you have people, as far as like the family structure and the community comes back, all that stuff tends to fade away, which is why certain industries like the prison industry complex and other entities, they don't want to see that. They're not trying to see
right.
that.
Right.
That's
crazy.
Well,
they said Chicago made the list at number 22. I said, shit, it should have been at the top 5. Chirac is off the hook. They should have been right in the top 5, not number 22. But I think they might have put them down there, though, like somebody said in the chat room, because, you know, Obama's from Chicago and it's a presidential season.
Yeah.
So that might have been wild.
Well, you know, it's a lot of things haven't been talked about during the electoral season. You know, Sandy slightly got, you know, lost in the mix. You still, for a little bit. Then, you know, the whole thing with the Zimmerman case is still pending. No one said anything about that. And there's a whole lot of underlying issues that kind of fell by the wayside, you know, with all this political season going on. But I think they're going to be on full blast as soon as tomorrow. When the Obamas are like really back in business again. But, you know, again, it's like I charge people to really not just take initiative for themselves, but to really open their minds and some books and figure out what's really going on out there. Don't just rely on what you see in school or what you see on television, because the biggest and broadest education you can get out there is beyond those borders. So, because again,
yeah.
Things are quite interesting, and I stress interesting, once it comes to not just a few months, but a few years down the road, too, is, you know, as T was talking about, you know, the whole water hustle might be something serious. There's other things, you know, in the works that no one's talking about. You got to worry about the thing about the internet, where they could probably do, like, major censoring, you know, because of a cyber attack, you know, whatever. You know, just keep an eye on what's going to happen or possibly could happen. I'm not going to say anything to Illuminati or anything like that. I'm not ruling that out either, but for real. You know, we have to keep our eyes on everything right now.
Right. Everybody's talking about Indianapolis now. I know you've been to Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep saying
that place. What about that one? Ratchet. That's another place I've been. I went there. I went to Gary, Indiana, like, probably, like, 10, 11 years ago. Shit. I ain't been back since. There wasn't nothing there.
You ain't missing nothing.
At all. But, you know, we did go to a little, there was a boat on the river. I forgot what lake or whatever that was. The Trump Casino.
Lake
but I wasn't even old enough to get in.
Yeah. Yeah, you went there.
You had to be 21. I was like, shit, probably 17 at the time. So I couldn't even get in. But we did a road trip or something. We was in Chicago. Then we decided to go to Gary, Indiana, to go visit some of my friend's family. So we went to Gary, and oh, my gosh, it was just horrible. There's a lot of bombed-out houses. I remember that. It's like every house on the block, damn, it was bombed out. And then it was there wasn't nothing there at all. Really wasn't nothing to see.
No, downtown was fucked up. It was all fucked up.
But they said, like, now see, but they said, like, Gary, Indiana back in the day was, like, the steel mill and everything. So is that what happened to, like, because, I mean, when you think about it, and I don't know, because I haven't been there in 10 years, but, like I said, it was messed up 10 years ago when I was visiting. And you figure the economy was good 10 years ago. So imagine now. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's probably worse now. But do you think that's why places like Detroit and things like that that were so big on, like, you know, hands-on businesses, like, you know, building cars, Gary, Indiana has the steel mills and everything else. Once that shuts down, is that why it's so bad? Because there's no more infrastructure and the people are just, like, you know, having to leave just to find, you know, jobs and stuff.
Personally, yeah, I believe that's what happens. It's like you have one major source of income that generates different sources of income, where you have, like, the auto industry, and you have people like stores that, you know, provide clothing, food, and different, you know, necessities out there. But when you take away that major, you know, artery, everything else down there shuts down. Everything goes bankrupt. You know, people can't afford that. But on the other side of the coin, you got people like downtown Gary. You have, like, what happens to Katrina, where people can go back and purchase that land and rebuild that stuff for cheap. You know, it's like, let's go to gentrification away. But still,
your phone's going in and out.
Yeah, give me a sec.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like, either way, when one source of business loses its money, another entity, as far as a real estate company, and even, you know, I think some people from China were building they were buying buildings downtown Gary. Now, I wouldn't be surprised they weren't buying anything else, especially, like, there's some parts of L.A. and different major cities that are already bought by China. So,
right.
Again, most people ain't going to talk about that, but that's just been happening. That's basically been happening.
The Chinese are turning into a superpower. They're buying everything everywhere.
Yeah.
They're all in Africa now, and, you know, they're running their own businesses and everything. I get that, though. The Chinese, they be hustling. They do. They have a good work ethic.
They don't have no choice, really. But, yeah, they do have work ethic.
They do. They got a really good work ethic. They don't work now. That's what they're going to do. So we're down to about the last 5 minutes here. So we've had a really, really good and interesting show. And we talked about a lot of things today. Everybody's talking about, not about picking out the cities that are most impoverished and lack opportunities. It's a lot of cities. I mean, the list can go on. It's a lot of cities that are struggling right now.
Right.
You know, and especially we got to keep, you know, cities like the Gulf. You know, they're still going through a lot after their hurricane that they've had and the BP oil spill. You know, things hit the news and then we just tend to move on and we forget that the people who live in that area are still being affected. So even though the BP oil spill happened in 2010 or whatever, these people are still being affected by the chemicals that, you know, that were being used to clean up the oil and everything else. But, you know, especially right now in the East Coast with Hurricane Sandy, like we were saying earlier, you know, Staten Island's now getting snow. On top of all that mess they went through, now they're in the dark and they're even colder. So it's really unfortunate how the weather is in America right now. It's a trip. And what's even more crazy is, like, you know, like I said, I'm in the Midwest. And usually here, you know, if anything, we should be having snow. I'm not trying to claim it because I don't want no snow. I hate snow. But I would think Minnesota would get snow before Staten Island on the East Coast.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because usually, like, shit.
We don't have a drop of snow. Today was 50 degrees. How you doing? I'm not complaining. Do not get me wrong, because, you know, once it starts, I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to be posting pictures on Facebook. Look at all this dang on snow. So, no, I don't want snow. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is that how are places like North Carolina and places like, you know, New York and Delaware and, you know, places like that on the East Coast, Southeast, they're getting snow, but we're here in the Midwest in Snow Alley. We don't have a lick of snow outside.
You know, I would make a suggestion, but you and I both know about that, but we're going to leave that be.
That's a whole other show.
Yeah, it's just something's not right, especially you figure
with Minnesota being that far north near Canada, y'all should have had, you know, snow at least like late September, early October, or mid-October already.
We don't get snow that early. No, not that early. We'll usually get snow up here because we only had it one time that it hit on Halloween. That's when I was like real young. But usually, like here, when they get snow, it's sometime in November. So we'll probably get it, you know, like within the next 2-3 weeks. But what is surprising me is the fact that the East Coast got it before us.
Yeah.
You know, because usually we're first to get it, and then, you know, the rest of the nation follows. But it's not like they just got a few flurries. I mean, the snow is sticking. They've gotten a few inches. So it's definitely crazy how everything is, you know, coming to play.
Yeah. And we definitely still, you know, encourage people to, like, you know, give something or send, you know, what they can do, you know, to help people out in that effort. Because, like, again, they're going to have that cold front, which is going to make things even more problematic out there, especially with some areas still, I believe, are out of power and still getting the relief efforts, but it's going to make things a little more challenging. So that could be any one of us, possibly. So, again,
so we're going to go ahead and get ready to end. We have just a minute left here. So we had a really good show tonight, lots of really good discussions in the chat room. So thank you, everyone, for coming to the show and chatting up with us. I had a great time, as usual. Any last words, Ronan?
Well, I would like to say that I enjoy
the show. You need to stop.
And I'll fill up my 400 water bottles and call it a night.
You are such a mess. All right, you guys. So we will see you guys next week at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. So talk to you guys later.
All right, now.